From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, it's nice for me, Amanda, to be able to accompany you for the next 1 hour in our terrestrial program. Today, we have prepared you some segments beginning from news, commentary, and other information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. So make sure to keep listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says three keys needed to tackle economic recession. Defense Minister Prabowo Subianto calls on ASEAN member states to counter terrorism. Indonesia and South Korea to keep enhancing trade performance. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo stated that there are three aspects that ASEAN member countries and South Korea must implement in a bid to overcome global economic challenges. It was echoed by President Joko Widodo at the ASEAN Republic of Korea commemorative summit in Busan on Monday, November 25, escorted by Antara. The president hoped that ASEAN and South Korea can make breakthrough to face economic challenges. The first aspect that needs to be taken into consideration is the development of quality infrastructures to stimulate the growth of economy. President Joko Widodo explained that Indonesia has intensively carried out infrastructure development to support economic growth. The second key is the development of human resources. Meanwhile, the third aspect is the development of renewable energy resources. The president took, for example, the water and electrical energy that have been implemented in Indonesia, namely in North Kalimantan and Papua. He pointed out that the future challenges are getting more complex, hence ASEAN and Republic of Korea need to boost their innovations to solve them. Indonesian Defense Minister Prabowo Subianto called on ASEAN member countries to tackle the threats of terrorism. It was remarked by Minister Prabowo when opening the 20th ASEAN Chiefs of Army multilateral meeting in Bandung on Monday, November 25. The minister pointed out that terrorism possesses three threats for ASEAN member countries, namely transnational crimes, radicalism, and the terrorism itself. Therefore, he called on ASEAN member countries to hold coordination in a bid to overcome these issues. In addition, Prabowo hoped that ASEAN member countries could collaborate to establish the world peace. Indonesia keeps enhancing and strengthening its export to the United States. The commitment was reflected in the work visit of Indonesian Deputy Minister of Trade, Jerry Sambuaga, to the U.S. from November 16 to 20, 2019. Based on the press release of the Trade Ministry escorted by National Radio News Agency, KBRN, on Monday, November 25, the Indonesian government strives to improve the export of tropical fruits, steel, textile, and furniture. According to Deputy Minister Jerry Sambuaga, Indonesian tropical fruits, such as pineapple and cashew, become the favorites of the U.S. society as these commodities are not found in the non-tropical countries. In addition to exporting tropical fruits and nuts, Indonesia will also keep strengthening its furniture, textile, and steel export to the U.S. according to the deputy minister, steel is highly important to support the U.S. industry. Meanwhile, furniture and textile are known as Indonesian main export commodities. Therefore, the Indonesian government will facilitate the export of these commodities by imposing minimum tariff. Indonesian Ambassador to South Korea Umar Hadi stated that the performance of Indonesian and South Korean trade has improved for the past 5 years. It was remarked by Ambassador Umar Hadi when escorting Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi in a press conference in Busan on Sunday night, November 24. The ambassador perceived that the productivity of Indonesian and South Korean trade is supported by the variety of complementary goods. Escorted by Antara, according to the ambassador, there are a number of Indonesia's commodities which can potentially penetrate the South Korean market, namely timber, food and beverage products, seafood products, automotive components, and electrical equipment. He pointed out that South Korean companies in Indonesia predominantly engage in the sectors of garment, textile and textile products, as well as footwear. In addition, South Korea has also expanded its investment in Indonesia by taking part in the construction of power plants in several regions such as East Java, Cirebon, and West Java. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia. The Indonesian Embassy, in collaboration with the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, promote Indonesia's tourism through an event called Wonderful Indonesia Week in Riyadh from November 20 to 26, 2019. Based on the press statement of the Indonesian Embassy in Riyadh, received by Antara in Jakarta on Sunday, the Wonderful Indonesia Week event in Riyadh aims to promote Indonesian tourism as well as encouraging Saudi Arabian tourists to visit Indonesia ahead of the year-end holidays. Various activities are conducted to showcase the abundance of Indonesia's tourism potentials, such as Indonesian art and cultural performances, as well as the promotion of Indonesian cuisines through food festival. Assistant Deputy for Marketing Development to Region 3 at the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sigit Wicaksono, explained that the activities held in the event reflect the concept of the event, namely promoting Indonesia's tourism potentials systematically in various aspects comprising culture, culinary, as well as tourism packages offered by Indonesian tour operators. Indonesian Ambassador to the Russian Federation, concurrently the Republic of Belarus, M. Wahid Supriyadi, said that every year the number of Russian tourists visiting Indonesia keeps increasing. If the target of 162,000 Russian tourists can be accomplished this year, the number of Russian tourists will grow by 100% since the implementation of Indonesia Festival 1 held in 2016. Therefore, in a bid to attract more Russian tourists to visit Indonesia, the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, along with Russian flag carrier Russia Airlines, held tourism promotion in St. Petersburg, Russia, recently. It was stated by First Secretary of the Education, Culture and Information Affairs at the Indonesian Embassy in Moscow, in Jayadiana, based on the release received by Antara London on Sunday, November 24. In the tourism promotion, which was attended by representatives of the St. Petersburg tourism actors, Ambassador Wahid Supriyadi affirmed the potentials of Indonesian tourism for Russian tourists. A number of efforts have been made to boost Russian tourist arrivals to Indonesia. One of them is through the opening of direct flight of Russia Airlines from Moscow to Denpasar. The last item. Recipients of Bank Indonesia scholarships and local employees of the Central Bank in West Nusa Tenggara, or NTB, planted some 8,000 mangrove trees in Bagai Kembar ecotourism area in Sekotong, West Lombok, on Sunday, November 24. The event, led by BI Representative Office Chief in NTB Akri Sarwani, was organized to celebrate the 8th anniversary of Indonesian New Generation, or GenB, in West Nusa Tenggara. This environmental conservation activity is aimed at restoring the beautifying the Bagai Kembar ecotourism area that has become a tourist destination for mangrove conservation. Akri Sarwani said that tourism development must be promoted continually to facilitate economic development of West Nusa Tenggara. According to him, the tourism industry also supports other sectors such as agriculture, trade, transportation, and accommodation. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to meet you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is The Discourse of Extension of the Presidential Term. Well, listener, the discourse about the proposal to add the term of office for the president is heating up again. This is related to the plan for a limited amendment of the 1945 Constitution. The ongoing discourse is related to the changes in the presidential terms. Some figures propose the president's term of office to be only one period for 8 years, and some also propose to be extended to 3 periods. Based on the current rules, the president and vice president hold a 5-year office and can be re-elected for one term. Thus, the president and vice president can serve a maximum of 10 years in 2 periods as stipulated in the Article 7 of the 1945 Constitution. Actually, the proposal related to the changes in term of office of the president does not emerge for the first time. Previously, this matter also came up. Inevitably, some people are now enthusiastically talking about the discourse, which is rejected by several parties, especially political parties. Chairman of the Indonesian People's Consult Assembly in PR, Bambang Susatyo, said the president tenure for 2 periods and the direct presidential election by the people are already appropriate. The Indonesian Democratic Party of Staga, PDIP, the majority in the parliament as well as the supporting party of President Joko Widodo, assesses that the current presidential term is still ideal and it does not need changing. Senior Golkar party figure Andit Matalata said that the discourse of 3 periods for presidential tenure could lead to authoritarian ruler. According to him, limiting the president term as now it is the main essence of reform and amendment. The opposition party, the Prosperous Justice Party PKS, considers the discourse to be a dangerous proposal. The PKS said the decision to limit the president's term of office for 2 periods was obtained through the struggle in the bloody reform. Meanwhile, chairman of the Gerindra faction at MPR, Ahmad Riza Patria, said that the 2 terms of leadership are the ideal periods for presidential terms. He feels that the decision is final because it is regulated in the 1945 Constitution. Risa also said that the current presidential term of office does not need changing because it is in accordance with the spirit of reform. The power and authority must be limited. The president tenure of 2 periods, each for 5 years, is the outcome of the bloody reforms in the 1998 to step down the old order government presided by Suharto, who served as a president for 32 years. The termination of the term of office of 2 periods also came through in a depth discussion. Currently, the system which has been agreed upon is the most ideal. Extending the term of office to 3 periods is likely to propose the return of old order system in which the president will tend to be authoritarian. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
We Listener, let's listen to our next segment, Today in History, about historical events on 25th of November. Stay tuned with us.
Voice of Indonesia.
Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on November 25, 1945, when Teacher Association of the Republic of Indonesia was established. National Teachers' Day has been initiated since 1994 in accordance with Presidential Decree. Based on Presidential Decree No. 78-1994 and also Law No. 14-2005 on Teacher and Lecturer, November 25th was chosen as the National Teacher Day, and it was also commemorated as the anniversary of Teacher Association of the Republic of Indonesia. Previously, Teacher Association of the Republic of Indonesia was called Teacher Association of Dutch East Indies. It was established by Dutch colonial government in 1912, then it became Indonesian Teacher Association in 1932. It was initiated as Teacher Day to recollect the service and struggle of teachers who have worked hard to struggle for education in Indonesia. The next event is that in 1975, Suriname obtained its independence. In the Round Table Conference in 1961, representatives of Suriname, led by the then Prime Minister Johan Adolf Pangil, demanded the formation of self-government. The demand became more intensive after the establishment of some political parties in the decade. The demand was stronger so that Suriname was given fully freedom as soon as possible. The demand was responded seriously by holding a conference in the Netherlands in 1970. The conference was to discuss the preparation of Free Suriname and also to arrange cabinet, which consisted of representatives of the parties. Thus, Suriname has become an independent state since November 25, 1975. However, the economy of the new state still depended on the Dutch development assistance. The last event is that in 2000, Baku was hit by an earthquake. On Saturday, November 5, 2000, at 10:10 p.m. local time, an earthquake with 7 Richter scale shocked the capital city of Azerbaijan, Baku. The earthquake was followed by 3 minutes later by another earthquake measuring 5.9 Richter scale. The earthquake was the strongest for the past 160 years, namely since the earthquake in 1842. The earthquake killed 26 people and injured 412 people. Listener, that was Today in History.
Apa yang kau pikirkan saat aku ucapkan kupu untuk kesunyian? Mampukah kau akui dirimu yang jadi yang selalu
That was a song titled Penyendiri or Solitary by Nadia Fatira. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we are going to present you our program, My Indonesia. Stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on management of investment licensing written to the Investment Coordinating Board. President Joko Widodo has decided to return all investment licensing authority from the ministries to the Investment Coordinating Board. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said as a follow-up, the ministers were asked to revoke at least 40 ministerial regulations deemed to hamper investment and ease of business for no later than the end of December 2019. Pramono Anung, after attending a limited meeting on the acceleration of ease of doing business at the presidential office in Jakarta last Thursday, said the cabinet secretary had made an official letter to the Investment Coordinating Board in accordance with the president's direction that once again the licensing authority become the board's full responsibility. According to Pramono Anung, the decision was aimed in increasing the ease of investing or doing business in Indonesia. In a World Bank report released last October, in the ease of doing business ranking, Indonesia only ranked 73, down from 72 in 2018. The government targets Indonesia to be ranked 50th in the ease of doing business in 2021, then entered rank 40th in the following years. Therefore, President Joko Widodo assesses that there is a need for licensing reform. Pramono Anung explained licensing was made at one door, namely the Investment Coordinating Board, because in the current world condition, it would be impossible for Indonesia to move forward if its obstacles in the government still exist. Meanwhile, the Investment Coordinating Board head, Bahlil Lahadialia, stressed the board had begun to change paradigm. So far, if investors want to invest, the board helps and assists in managing permits in ministries that have been considered difficult. With President Joko Widodo's instruction, it is hoped that investors who want to invest their capital in Indonesia no longer need to go back and forth to the ministry to arrange a permit so that they can do business in various parts of Indonesia. Bahlil said, when he was just become the head of the board, there was an existing investment worth 708 trillion rupiahs that had not been executed. After a month he took office, or until last week, there were 89 trillion rupiahs of investment carried out. Bahlil added, the government would also form a one-stop system in managing ship permits. That was My Indonesia Today. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Stop bicara cinta jika hanya garitkan luka. Stop bicara rindu jika hadirmu tak terasa. Perlukah ku menjauh, biarkan kau sendiri sampai sampai kau cari aku. Aku baiknya semua kembali kita pikirkan. Lanjutkah, hentikah kita. Ku bertahan karena ku ingin bertahan. Ada cinta masih tersisa untukmu, tapi tolonglah beri aku alasan yang tepat untuk tak meninggalkanmu. Aku letih berjuang sendiri. Stop. Janji aku bukan prioritasmu. Stop bicara tentang masa depan kita tak jelas. Perlukah ku menjauh? Biarkan kau sendiri sampai kau cari aku. Aku baiknya semua kembali kita pikirkan. Lanjutkah, hentikah kita. Aku bertahan karena ku ingin bertahan. Ada cinta beri aku alasan yang tepat untuk tak meninggalkanmu. Aku letih berjuang sendiri. Stop, 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 stop. Jika hanya garitkan luka.
That was a song titled Stop Bicara or Stop Talking by Ryan Pono. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, we are going to give you more information about Indonesian cultures and tourism destinations in our program, Indonesian Wonders. Stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia. Listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, I will introduce you Bajra Sandi Monument. Tourism object of Bajra Sandi is a monument in Denpasar, Bali. The monument was built and dedicated for people's struggle on Bali Island. The location of the monument is in front of the Governor Office and Regional House of Representatives building of Bali, precisely at Renon. Bajra Sandi Monument, in addition to honoring heroes on Bali Islands, is also a symbol of the preservation of the souls of Balinese warriors from generation to generation, and it also marks as a symbol of spirit to defend the integrity of the Unitary Republic of Indonesia. The designer of the monument is Ida Bagus Gedeyadnya, an architect who won competition of the monument architecture. The monument, which has a meaning the day of Indonesian independence on August 17, 1945, has a design of 17 entrance gateways, 8 main pillars and 45 mortars high. The name of Bajra Sandi is from Bajra and Sandi. Bajra means genta or big bell and Sandi means holy. If we see the shape of the building, the monument looks like genta, which is used by priests of Hindu when saying mantra in prayer rituals. Bajra Sandi Monument has facilities such as library, fish pond, handicraft and toilet. To enter the monument, visitors should pay entrance ticket for about 25,000 rupees for adult and 5,000 rupees for children. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder featuring Bajra Sandi Monument in Bali. Thank you for listening.
Depan nanti dengan tak.
That was a song titled Saat Cinta Hampa or When Love Feels Empty by Agatha Suci. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, we are going to give you more information about how to learn Indonesian language in our program Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. This Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Development and Fostering Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Mohon Perhatian, or in English, Attention Please. Next, I will give an example of a conversation on Mohon Perhatian or Attention Please. Tony was at the hotel in the Borobudur Temple area. A tour guide asked attention from a group of tourists. The group is still noisy.
Mohon perhatian sebentar, ada pengumuman penting.
Baik.
Besok kumpul di lobi 3:30 PM. Jangan terlambat ya.
Baik, terima kasih.
After listening to this conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to this theme, namely mohon perhatian, which means attention please. I will say the words 2 times and you may repeat after me. Pengumuman, pengumuman, which means announcement. Mohon perhatian, which means please pay attention. Mohon perhatian sebentar. Mohon perhatian sebentar, which means please pay attention briefly. Halo semuanya, halo semuanya, which means hello everybody. Ada pengumuman penting, ada pengumuman penting, which means there is an important announcement. Besok kumpul di lobi 3:30 PM. Besok kumpul di lobi 3:30 PM, which means tomorrow gather in the lobby at 3:30 AM. Jangan terlambat ya. Jangan terlambat ya, which means don't be late. In the dialogue you heard, the tour guide asked the group's attention by saying mohon perhatian. Mohon perhatian, which means attention please. Perhaps to attract attention so everyone would listen, the tour guide also said, ada pengumuman penting. Ada pengumuman penting, which means there is an important announcement. Tolong dengarkan baik-baik. Tolong dengarkan baik-baik, which means please listen carefully. When you want to ask for attention from a group of people, you can say, mohon perhatian. Mohon perhatian, which means please pay attention. Sometimes people will say pengumuman, pengumuman, which means announcement, or mohon perhatian. It means there is something important that you need to listen to. Next, in the dialogue, you hear the tour guide asking the group to listen carefully by saying, tolong dengarkan baik-baik, tolong dengarkan baik-baik, which means please listen carefully. Next is an example of some expressions in various situations to ask someone to do something well in variety of conversations. Notice the example. Tolong perhatikan baik-baik. Tolong perhatikan baik-baik, which means please pay close attention. Tolong dengarkan baik-baik. Tolong dengarkan baik-baik, which means please listen carefully. Tolong lihat baik-baik. Tolong lihat baik-baik, which means please look carefully. The use of the word baik-baik, which means carefully, in such a context is only used in the Indonesian variety of conversations or colloquial. Before ending, mari berbahasa Indonesia, or let's speak Indonesian today. For more details, let's listen to the example of conversation once more.
Mohon perhatian sebentar, ada pengumuman penting.
Baik.
Besok kumpul di lobi 3:30 pagi. Jangan terlambat ya.
Baik, terima kasih.
Well, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to learn Indonesian. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Masa di mana kita bersama, ku buka lembar demi lembar buku ingatan kita dulu. Ku berbisik dalam benak ini. Dirimu, kau yang terindah dalam hidupku. Namun masa itu telah berlalu. Tak terasa tetesan air mata surat ini. Ku berharap ku sentuh dirimu, kau yang terindah dalam hidupku. Namun masa itu telah berlalu. Yeah. lepasku.
That was a song titled Cahaya di Penghujung Hati by Brian Prasetyoadi. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. And for the next segment, we are going to take you to learn about Indonesian music in our program Music Corner. Stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to Music Corner. Listener who do not know the city of Jakarta. The capital city of Indonesia, which is located near the coast, has been famous since long time ago as the center of trade and the center of government of Indonesia. The song Bandar Jakarta describes about the beauty of the coastal area of Jakarta in the evening. Clouds adorn the sky, the beautiful of thousand islands, fishermen boats and the waves breaking on the beach. That was a glimpse about the song Bandar Jakarta. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Bandar Jakarta by Toto Salmon. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, thank you for joining our terrestrial program. And also, don't forget to give us your comments to our email address, voi@voinews.id, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, and as well as Twitter, @voiindonesia. I'm Amanda. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a great day. See you.